Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Phone Arena podcast. Not with Varun Krish this time. It's going to be me, Bharadwaj. I've been working with Varun for quite a long time, since 2012, September. And we regularly go to these big events like Mobile World Congress. It's like the mecca of the mobile industry. So we all take a pilgrimage to this event. So in 2019, it happened again. And this episode is about one of the highlights of that event. The highlight is, of course, the launch of the Nokia 9 PureView, a camera flagship. It's really a groundbreaking camera phone. It has 5 camera sensors and it's very, very unique. Now, the PureView brand, as you know, has a history. The 41 megapixel sensors of the past, those were the first big megapixel smartphones and big sensors and whatnot. Nokia has always been proud about its camera technology. So they're trying to bring some kind of that mojo back into the company. And that starts with the Nokia 9 PureView. So I talk about that and a lot more in a conversation with Pranav Shroff, who heads a product at Nokia. And he has a lot to say about Nokia's new innings, so to speak. He would not want to identify it as a comeback or Nokia's back, but as a fan myself, I explain why I think so. And we have a casual conversation about all things Nokia. And since the 9 PureView is coming soon to India, I think now is the right time for you to listen to this conversation. So go ahead, listen to it, and do let us know in our Twitter or anywhere you can. Pause on the feedback to even Varun. Let us know what you think about this episode. Go ahead, listen to it. And yeah, thanks in advance.
So I've been away from the industry for a couple of years. So
yeah, welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you. You know, from outside, I've been watching Nokia come back. You know, I'm happy to be back. And I'm happy that Nokia is back. Because when I left, there was no Nokia. And now I see the way...
Can I correct you there, actually?
Sure.
Nokia never went away.
Absolutely,
just,
I agree with
you.
Just
came on
yes.
Nokia Android smartphones, but Nokia never went away.
Yes.
So we actually don't say Nokia is back.
Okay.
Nokia is now on Android.
Oh no, but you know, to explain my story.
Yeah, sure.
I started out with my website called NokiaBuff.com. I used to be a Nokia fan blog, and this was way back in 2010. So
excellent.
When Warm World Nokia used to be the company, you know, sending us all the review units and such. I was reviewing the N8, the E7, this one that you have here. You know, at that time...
Lots of memories from
the
past.
But when everything happened, right, I felt without devices, without me recommending Nokia devices, because that's all I have done. As a fan blog, I have recommended only Nokia devices to people. You know, after that, the hiatus was like, okay, there is nothing to recommend from... You know?
Yeah, no.
So that
I
was a
that,
bit
yeah.
of...
But you know, I have good news for you. Apart from the fact that Nokia is now on Android phones, we have
yes.
a full portfolio. So you can literally recommend a Nokia device
yes.
to any consumer out there.
Yes.
And that's our philosophy. Apart from the fact that you mentioned on us being so Nordic and so European, which
yes.
by the way is super important to our consumers today. That's what they tell us.
Absolutely.
Because we are the only design house now out of Europe.
Yes.
There's obviously a ton of Chinese players, there's Korea.
Yes.
And then there's US, which is Apple.
Yes.
We are the only ones who design out of Europe. So therefore it, not just the room, but also in our devices, you can see that we have a very different, we call it simplistic, minimalistic design,
yes.
which is
yes.
very
yes.
true to our roots. So we don't
so
have
we can
any
say
extra
the,
lines or seams or anything on our
yes.
product.
That's
yes. the whole idea and the philosophy behind it.
Yes. So you can say that the body might have evolved, but the brain... is the same, right? The whole design.
More importantly, the heart is the same.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes, I can see that. So, your heart wants to go to everyone. So I can see that the portfolio of devices launched at
yes.
NWC hits across the range, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
you
everything.
Know, that's the beauty of working for this company
yeah.
and for this brand that. At the same time, you can have a $35 connected device, which is pretty much the first connected experience to a lot of millions of consumers out there. And then you can also have this product, which is the next level of innovation. All of that happening literally at the same time.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's the whole range of what we are. We want to be present.
Absolutely.
In
it's that innovation at both the ends.
Yes, exactly.
This is definitely, you know, one of the world's first pentacamera systems. So that's definitely an innovation that no one can deny. You know, no one can come out and say that, oh, this is nothing. I mean, it's just not possible at all. You can say that for certain other phones, you know. For example, the latest flagship that Samsung released, I would say, oh, okay, triple camera, yeah, been there, done that. I'm using the Mate 20 Pro. And I was like, okay, it's not so new. I have seen that. But this is something that I have not ever seen before. And it does something that I want from a professional quality camera. That is dynamic range.
I'm not going to comment on the competitors you mentioned. And absolutely. More power to them and all of that. But what we are doing here is, and we want it to be... we wanted to continue the brand's heritage of standing for imaging innovations.
Yes.
And it, if you look at it, it's a very daring step, right? So it's something that has never been done before. There's a ton of imaging R&D happening in every possible area of this industry. And then what we have done here is we have a completely novel solution. It is a computational photography, literally maxed out.
Yes, yes.
Where also in the uniqueness of how we've created the solution and the way we've chosen the solution. So it's like five lenses, which are pretty much the same specification. So it's a 12 megapixel sensor across.
Yeah.
But then all five of them simultaneously and individually capture an image every time you click.
Yes.
So this is not one sensor being fired for a particular purpose or another sensor for another one. All five of them simultaneously, and at minimum, every time you as a user click a picture,
yeah,
at minimum each sensor will click one picture. So you're,
yes,
immediately getting 60 megapixels worth of data.
Yeah.
But sometimes, depending on the conditions, we can do as many as, or we can do many more. Which means you can go from a 60 megapixel to a 240 megapixel worth of data, which,
okay,
is just captured from this subsystem.
Okay.
And the beauty for me, and I keep saying this, is how the hell did this all get packed in this 8mm body with no camera?
Oh, yes.
That's the absolute, I mean, that's the wonder of the engineering here.
Right.
You just leave aside all of the geek stuff that I mentioned. It's, like,
yes,
it's all in 8mm. That's the best part.
Yeah, that's the best part. Absolutely. Even with the previous cameras, you know, 41 megapixel 808. And the 1020, they all had a big camera bump.
Yes, so that also shows you the advancements in,
yeah,
the technology over there.
So what's the secret here? What's the? I've heard that you've worked with Light.
Yes, we've partnered with Light here. So what we've done is, so you obviously know there is a Snapdragon 845 in this case, so you,
yes,
have a chipset.
Yes.
Which is not just a CPU, right?
Yeah.
But typically what happens is, even in imaging, you only utilize the CPU.
Right.
Here we have a custom ASIC that has been developed with Light. So,
okay,
it's like, think of it as an imaging
DSP
co-processor.
Like processor.
ISP.
Imaging processor.
It's an imaging co-processor.
Right.
So you have the engine,
mm-hmm,
the chipset platform, then you have this co-processor.
Right.
And what we've done with, so first of all, this co-processor is able to control,
mm-hmm,
and trigger every sensor individually.
Okay.
So what you can do via this solution is you can have different exposure settings, different exposure levels for every sensor.
Right.
So
right,
each,
right,
sensor is capturing its own light. Each,
yes,
sensor is capturing pictures at different exposures, and then,
yes,
we fuse it together and give as anyone would expect, a JPEG at the end of it.
Right.
But on the inside, what we are also doing is we're distributing the fusion workload,
yes,
between the CPU, GPU, ISP, DSP.
Right.
So all of them go to work. And,
mm-hmm,
by what Qualcomm was telling us, this is the first time ever that any smartphone has utilized the true power of this heterogeneous computing that,
okay,
the platform offers.
Okay.
So it's literally maxing out the capabilities of the platform and the potential of the platform.
So this
in
is
this
as
solution.
Good as it gets in the industry right now.
It's pretty much as good as
it's
it.
Right there.
But then it's also very important to remember the benefit, and then therefore who is this for? So what are we focusing on? We are
mm-hmm,
focusing on getting an incredible amount of detail, texture, data,
yes,
depth information, full depth map, etc. So if you are somebody who wants to really go get creative with your post processing,
right,
you want a large amount of data, because what we believe is when you have a JPEG, which,
mm,
everybody creates at the end,
yeah,
I'm actually guessing that this is what Bharadwaj wanted to do. And I'm,
right,
creating,
yes,
that for you in a sense. So
yes,
it's like,
yes,
this is how Bharadwaj shot it. These are the settings he used. So maybe this is the picture he wants. It is,
yes,
one interpretation. So we obviously create our interpretation, which is the fusion. But the important part is you have a DNG file, which is the raw format,
yeah,
where you can pretty much then take that And on the phone itself, if you want to, or on any other machine, you can post-process it and create whatever you want. So you're in full creative control.
Absolutely.
So this is definitely, of course, it applies to everybody, but definitely more suited for that kind of a person who's a slightly more enthusiastic imaging amateur, professional, etc., wants to do all of this. Right?
And you're giving this amazing bandwidth for this person to be creative about the photo.
Be creative, exactly.
So
what is this bandwidth that you mentioned? So first of all, you're getting the incredible amount of light and data. We have, so I'm not sure if you're aware, so every kind of popular smartphone solution today captures depth.
Yes, right? For the bokeh.
Typically, for the bokeh, portrait mode, all of that. But typical smartphone solutions, even in the high end, have about 10 layers of depth. 10 or layer, lesser.
Right.
That's what you typically see.
Okay.
This solution gives you 1200 layers of depth.
Okay.
From 7 centimeters all the way to 40 meters. And 40 meters is like pretty much infinity if you look at it.
Yes.
So you get an incredible amount of depth information which you've never seen before. The other benefit is monochrome mode.
Okay.
So we have 3 native black and white or monochrome sensors,
yes,
which means you get true black and white photography. So this is not an AI filter being applied to create a black and white, which is great, of course, for a regular consumer, and we do it obviously also in our rest of our age. But the important part here is that you get native monochrome via 3 sensors, which again fire simultaneously. So you're getting unparalleled amount of light and depth also from that point of view.
Yes. So monochrome sensors, they are the ones that help with the dynamic range part, right?
Dynamic range part, but then also for your monochrome shots.
Absolutely. And they get image data.
And you know, right, a monochrome sensor can capture all the different colors in a sense. Your color sensor is capturing your reds, greens, blues typically.
Yes.
But this one can capture the whole gamut of light.
Okay.
And all the colors. So you can get a lot more texture in. You can get a lot more. So even for a regular picture, these can help you get a lot more color in, lot more real scenes, etc. And
absolutely,
then you can do the black and white shots.
Yes, and that's where the refocusing also comes in, right? So you said 7 centimeters to 40 meters.
Yes.
40 meters?
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's incredible. Right?
That's incredible. So that's never been done before.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, and I saw the event that it was mentioned, 12.4 stops of dynamic range.
Yes.
That's also something never seen before. So, how does it work? So it's just like clicking a photo. I saw and I did click some photos. I wished it had been faster. Is it issues of pre-production or is it issues?
It does.
Of,
it will. So the solution is such that we fuse.
Right.
So yes, it does take slightly longer to fuse. But
yes,
I think our consumers will appreciate that because they know what's happening in the background.
Absolutely.
They know how it's going. So yes, it is not a single sensor kind of a. But the click is instant. So the
absolutely
point is you're not missing the moment, right?
Okay.
So your click is instantaneous, takes slightly longer to process and fuse it, and that's how the solution works in general.
Okay.
Yes.
So what about on the video side? Are you guys planning anything on the video side, or do you have anything
so
special?
On this device, the Nokia 9 PureView, the central sensor is used for the videos. We have 4K support, etc. But the entire solution I described is tailor-made for the still image photography.
So we can say it's for the enthusiast photographer.
Yes.
Not a videographer or anything like that. But
yeah, I mean it's the power of this 5 camera setup, the array setup is for the still.
Yes.
The video
yes
is great. It is comparable to anything that you will see out there, 4K video recording, etc. But all of that I described on how we use the array is focused on the still.
Right. So how are you looking at it? So for launch, or you know, how are you planning to get this innovation into market? And I know like the Android One program has worked out great for Nokia and giving software support. So there is a lot of trust behind that. You know, they have generated a lot of trust behind
it's,
that.
It's not. I'll answer your first part later. But since you mentioned the software support, it's not only on that. So when we spoke to our consumers, we've obviously, as you know, executed on our stated strategy of pure, secure, up-to-date Androids. We always have the latest versions of Android, monthly security updates go out like clockwork, etc. And then we spoke to consumers, and the beautiful thing that consumers told us is that when you buy a Nokia smartphone, your experience actually gets better over time. as opposed to competition devices.
Yes, yes.
Where from the day you buy the phone, it starts slowing down, it starts decaying in a sense, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
your experiences keep getting worse and you keep having battery life issues, etc. Here, because we keep it pure, secure, up to date and we invest on that, your experience keeps getting better and better.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Think of this from the point of view of a like a Nokia 5 user.
Right.
In India, that consumer would have bought the original Nokia 5 in 2017 for, I'm going to say, less than 15,000 bucks. I don't remember the exact price. In that time, it was running Noga. And
right.
Noga had, I don't even remember those days, but I think split screen was a new thing then. And we were all feeling really great about that. In which was 2017, right? In 2018, that consumer got a Android Oreo 8.0 build, Android Oreo 8.1 build, and fastest in that tier. But then just January this year, he also got Pi. So the adaptive brightness, app slices, etc., etc. So that consumer right now is feeling like, you know, when he looks around and with the other guys, on that same phone, it's literally three phones at the price of one, because
Absolutely.
He's been getting newer. It's not just that you're getting bug fixes or security updates, which are also important, but you're getting you're getting the latest innovations that Google is introducing.
That's great.
All the time.
That's
and this is sub 15,000 rupees, and we've gone even lower now. The Nokia 2.1, which is running Go, is also updated to the Pi Go. So we are getting across the range, and we are literally the fastest in doing it, and across the range. So for me, that is very well put when it is spoken in the context of an experience that just keeps getting better.
Right. So it is. I feel it's like for a longer term experience. You know, longer term experience. I feel that's great. And I know that our readers are very happy about that. You know, all the whoever wants to recommend this, they recommend it for specifically this reason. So that's great. So this is where I want to talk about the other devices as well. Let's get into launch a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So we saw the 3.2 and the 4.2. So I can call it the 3 second generation or something like that.
Yes.
What's the official naming on that?
Yeah, so the Nokia 3 is called the Nokia 3.2.
This one.
So it is the third generation of the Nokia 3.
Right.
So we had the first Nokia 3, which was Nokia 3. Then we had the Nokia 3.1. Now we have the Nokia 3.
Yes.
And the Nokia 4 is for the first time in our portfolio. So it's a debut in a sense. But we've called it 4.2 just for consistency. So that
okay.
3.2 and then the 4.2. And they're in close price points in the same segment. So it just made it more consistent.
Right. So let's start with the new one, the 4.2.
Sure. So actually, let me talk about both of them together.
Sure.
Because they are actually...
Makes sense.
If you look at it globally, they are both in the $100 to $200 segment. So they are actually... and we've done something so first of all, why two, right? So if you just look at the size of the segment,
mm-hmm.
and especially important in India, where pretty much if I look at it globally,
mm-hmm.
about I would say 500 million people shop in that segment every year. So it's one third of the size of the entire industry, so to speak.
Yes.
And especially important in markets like India, Indonesia, Vietnam, etc. Now therefore, you have a lot of consumers,
mm-hmm.
in that segment, but also I believe they are the most demanding consumers.
Absolutely.
Out of the entire category, because they are looking at what's happening at all the devices that are making use, all the new innovations that are coming, etc. And they would like to get those at an accessible price point.
Yes.
So that is where the demanding nature of it, of the consumer.
It's highly aspirational.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here, first of all, because of the size of the segment, etc., we said, let's do not one, but two.
Okay.
And then we configured them completely differently. So on the Nokia 4, we actually went intentionally compact, because we believe, and going back to what we started off with, there should be a Nokia phone for everyone, and not everybody wants the largest screen size.
Of course.
that is a preference for many of us, including myself, but I do recognize that there are a lot of people who want a phone that just beautifully fits in your pocket, fits
Absolutely.
In your hand, gives you a complete nice full screen experience, all screen experience, but it's compact.
Yeah.
So there we selected a very special 5.71 inch display. And there we've really got the flagship level of design. So it's got a die-cast core for the strength and the durability. And then we have a glass front, glass back, 2.5D sculpted. It's just beautiful the way the display meets the design. So we made it really, really special in terms of the design. And the other way I describe a Nokia 4 is it just ticks all the boxes. So it has everything that you expect from a product in that In that segment. So beautiful display, great design, which is, I think it is a standout design for that.
I love that pink color as well.
Yeah, we debuted the pink sand color.
Yes, pink sand.
It has an octa-core processor, it's the latest Snapdragon 439. It has a very good depth sensing cameras. And on both of these devices and also on the OnePlus, we are focusing on the low light photography.
Okay.
So just make sure that we have great imaging experience across the range. You'll see a very good imaging experience on the Nokia 4, especially because of also the depth sensing.
Right.
You have good battery life. You have obviously an experience that keeps getting better over time.
Yes.
And what we've also noticed is because of this OS strategy that we have, our consumers can also get much better battery life and performance. By virtue of the fact that you don't have bloatware, you don't have skins, you don't have anything that is affecting your memory or your performance or your battery life, etc. So the whole experience is appear, your battery life is better, performance is great. So it's just a beautifully kind of complete compact device.
Yeah,
and then in contrast, with a lot of also similarities, is the Nokia 3.2, where we've gone with a really large screen size, which is a 6.26 inch. We have a 4000 mAh battery, which will live up to, very comfortably live up to, our 2-day battery life claim, because that's where the power and the beauty comes in from what Google brings in. So they have the AI battery which learns as you go along, so your experience or your battery life will also keep getting better and better. That's how you compare and contrast. But then the commonalities. So both are our first devices in the portfolio which have the dedicated Google key.
Oh, yes.
My favorite feature there is you just long press the Google key and you're on walkie-talkie mode. It's not just about triggering the Google Assistant, but it's, for me, it's two very important things. One is it is breaking a lot of technology barriers. We spoke about connectedness, having a Nokia out there for everybody, etc. So this is not necessarily something that you and I would relate to, but just think of somebody who in their native language can just long press, get into a walkie-talkie mode in their local language and talk to the phone and get things done easier.
Absolutely.
That's where the beauty of it is maxed out, right? And then also, I look at it as the entry point into the world of Google's AI.
Okay.
And all of the amazing stuff that Google is doing on the assistant, right? So both of them have that. Another very cool, signature element that we've added to our design is
the
notification LEDs. Our consumers told us that we were doing some research and it turned out that you lock or unlock your phone 80 times a day. You don't want to use it, you're just checking if you have a new notification.
Yeah.
All of us do it, right? So this is I believe it's a beautiful element.
That's right, I didn't look at it that way. You know, I was just thinking about the small notch and, you know, because there is no place for the notification LED, that's a great place to be, but I didn't think about this. It's true.
Yeah.
What we do is like we always look at the...
Especially if your phone is lying on the table, you'll always unlock. But imagine if, whether it's on its back or it's on the display or on the back, whichever way you've kept it, if it just gives you a very, very soft, nice light on the power key itself, and then you'll just call out for attention if it needs your attention. So
absolutely.
We started that also with the 3.2 and 4.2, and that goes across the range as well.
Okay.
And then the third thing, which is obviously common in both, is the face unlock. So the three very important things about that, and obviously face unlock is something we are all quite familiar with, but it has to be at a very base level. It has to be fast and accurate.
Okay.
So we wanted to ensure that. But then we wanted to make sure that it's also spoof resistant, fraud resistant.
Right.
So I can't take a picture of Bharadwaj's
face.
And then take a printout out of it and put it in front of his phone and unlock it, which, believe it or not, happens today, right?
Absolutely.
A lot of popular solutions. We wanted it to be really fraud resistant. And then consumer data privacy, super important. We wanted the data to reside on the phone itself, so it's not going anywhere out of your phone. Your data is private. So these were the three criteria, and we're very happy with the solution that we have now, and we will bring that also across our Android One range.
Great. So there are two other devices that I want to talk about. The OnePlus.
Yes.
The Nokia OnePlus, I feel, you know, with the 18:9 screen and that 3D nano coated design, I feel it's possibly one of the best options in the entry level that I've seen in terms of design. Because I feel it needs to be sturdy and it needs to work. You know, just work. bells and whistles, nothing like that. Just needs to work.
I agree with you. That's what that consumer is looking for. So think of, so let's again step into the mind of that consumer, right? So it's either a first-time smartphone user,
yeah,
or somebody who's not had a great first smartphone experience, because we know that in those price points, the experience does not really hold up, especially when you're moving from a feature phone which is like really zippy and really familiar, etc. So there, what consumers told us, and you were absolutely bang on, what they're looking for is a very credible smartphone experience that just works with, if I just add on, with the aspiration value of the design, very good imaging, strong performance, and then just something that you can trust, because for that consumer it's still a big investment from a on a product where they need to be able to trust the brand and who's bringing it to them. So
right, so we're running out of time, but I just want to get the launch details and a quick message to the Indian market and its users. You know, we've talked about a lot about the 3.2 and 4.2, and also I know OnePlus and the 2.10 is also coming.
Yes.
So we have
announced, so other local availability, pricing, etc. we will do subsequently, but in our global announcements, we have the Nokia 2.10, global average retail price of $35. It is actually shipping already, so it will be in markets in March, early March.
Okay.
The Nokia OnePlus is global average retail price of $99, also available in March.
Okay.
The 3.2 is starting from $139. We have two different memory variants there, so starts at $139, available in May. 4.2 available in April.
Okay.
Actually, both of them will be shipping in May.
Around April, May.
April, so will be available in the later parts of April or early May.
Okay.
That is $169, and then the Nokia 9 Pure View, we ship starting next week, and it's $699.
Okay, great. So, just a quick question: when is the Nokia 9 coming to India?
We will let you know soon.
Okay, soon. I guess I'll take that answer. Thanks.
Yes. Thanks, Pranav.